The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I was initially thinking I had a topic I wanted to talk about to introduce loving kindness, but now after just chatting with you all a little bit, I think it would be worthwhile. Some of you have already mentioned, but let's talk again about what can we do to support ourselves, take care of our communities, take care of our loved ones, when there's a lot of tragedy that's happening. And for us, of course, here in Northern California, the smoke, right? So even if you don't watch the news, you can smell the news, you can see it, and it's affecting all of us, I think. So I will be giving some instructions on loving-kindness meditation, and that certainly is a way in which we can soften our hearts and find some stillness and some ease, which then can help us increase our capacity to hold difficulties. But I'd like to hear from you guys. What are some things that you do to help you not get overwhelmed or to help you work with all the difficulties that, I don't know, and this maybe it's just me, but it just seems recently there's been quite a few in the news. So if anybody would like to share, we have some kind of collective wisdom here. And can you use the mic? Oh, Kristen, thank you.
Thanks. Is it working? A couple weekends ago, I just decided, because I realized all of the disasters that I realized started every week appearing in the news or hearing on the news were really getting to me, and as well as, you know, a lot of stress at work and some family members with personal health crises. And I realized that weekend, I just canceled all my plans, and I did the two things that I thought would help me most. Don't drive anywhere, don't get in traffic, and don't listen to the radio, not even NPR. It's really hard to be alone in your house without any sound, but I think I really benefited from just, you know, taking care of myself by turning off all this external noise and the things I can't control, and I certainly didn't create, and just, I found by the end of that weekend I was much calmer, so it was sort of an eyes-open meditation.
Thank you, Kathy. Yeah, in the Buddhist teachings, there's this idea of like guarding the sense doors. That is, not always looking, tasting, feeling, touching, you know, constantly getting stimulated, because then our minds go with that. So there can be times when you really want to kind of stay close in and stay quiet. And then it probably waxes and wanes when there's times when you're more able to, or it's maybe more appropriate to be listening to the news, or maybe not. So thank you, Kathy. Anybody else?
Well, I don't per se have a method or an activity I engage in. I try to live to be happy all the time. I follow the precepts, and when I'm reasonably following them on a day-to-day basis, it does make me happy. I slip up. I volunteer at a couple organizations. I help out some older people in my neighborhood. I deliver drugs for hospice. I do a lot of things that make me happy. I very seldom watch much television. You can't avoid the news. It hits you from every angle. But I do not engage. A very wise teacher of mine years ago said, I was talking about, the homeless people, I need to help them, and what can I do? And he looked at me and said, do not be too quick to intervene in the suffering of others. You're depriving them of a great lesson. How have you learned things in life? Well, not because it was given to me, because I've suffered. I've done the wrong thing, and I've realized it. And so if I start taking that away from other people, how are they going to learn? So I listen to things like the news, which honestly seems to be suffering as entertainment. I find that inappropriate. But if I hear that kind of thing, I think, I'm not there, I'm here. There are people here that I can help. So it really doesn't affect me. I don't like it. I don't like a lot of things. But I don't become engaged. They're not in my life. My life is right here tonight. This is all there is.
Yeah, it's the power of doing service, right? Whether it's just, your immediate neighbors or perhaps larger, it's really great, right? It fills us up in a certain way to serve others and to help others. There's also a Buddhist teaching about this, of course. Generosity and service is a way, these are like the world, unworldly, the spiritual pleasures. These are things that help open the heart and help us have an easeful life, is to find our way with these. And I also appreciate very much, Lawrence, that you talked about ethics. Ethics is a way to find some steadiness, to find some happiness, to find some foundation that can really support us and can really, have a sense of well-being with that. So
I don't want to continue too much, but I often find myself thinking about a decision. I'm saying, what's going to make me feel good? Well, being absolutely honest, being concerned about others, being kind, being compassionate, all the things we normally do as Buddhists, that will make me happy. So the right decision is what will make me happy. There is nothing outside of my immediate surroundings that makes me happy. Certainly not engaging in politics. I'm not saying we have to have no views. I have some very strong views. But it's not my job to share them. I even have difficulty with people say, we must take a stand. Well, I don't like upraised fist, but taking a stand is resistance. That's not acceptance.
So, yes. So part of this practice is to help us to work with how can we, when we see some terrible injustices, we see some wrongs, how can we approach them with an open heart instead of a closed fist and a closed mind? There are some people who do feel called to act in the world. I think that's, we have different ways of being in the world. I want to honor that as well. Maybe one more. Does somebody have something else, how they work with some of the things that we're experiencing?
So I guess for me, for a while I feel like I've been sort of attached to Buddhism and or at least what I interpret Buddhism to be anyway, my experience. And I guess I've lately seen the value of mindfulness and that present experience as the modality. And like the teachings have sort of like dissolved into my experience a little bit more as I've kind of like let them, not been so attached to them, I guess. They've kind of like come into focus more. 'Cause I think that if I take it more in the orientation of like this very like intellectual cerebral thing, then I have a tendency to get like obsessed over it. But if I see it more through the lens of like my own experience, which is really all it could ever be a lot of the time, then I feel like I have a little bit more peace with it.
This is one of the foundational teachings, I would say. Can we let go of our clinging to views and to our ideas of how things are? Not because our views or ideas may be be true, may not be true, but it's the clinging to them, it's the holding to them. This is true and everything else is not true. That's where we get into trouble. So this practice is to help us soften, hold them, hold our views lightly, like this is my current understanding, as opposed to this is the truth. And in that way, we can find freedom. We can find, with or without Buddhism, right? Even we can let go of the Buddhist ideas too, even these practices. Thank you. So tonight we're going to do a loving-kindness meditation. We'll start with loving-kindness for a benefactor. And I'm smiling just thinking about this because I've said this a number of times. I recognize many of you have been here, and I just want to say it fills my heart to kind of share this practice with you all. Because what I'm going to say, many of you have heard a number of times. So loving kindness for a benefactor, we'll do this with three elements. One is having a felt sense or a visualization of the benefactor. Somebody for whom it's easy to love, that you have an uncomplicated relationship with. And you may or may not have a personal relationship with this person. And the lovable being may or may not be an actual human. Some people find it easiest to start with a kitten or a puppy or a baby or something like this. We're cultivating warmth and softness and openness. We're creating the conditions for that to arise. Doesn't mean that it will. There's no guarantee that you do this practice means you're going to have a warm, caring, loving feeling. This practice has power and efficacy even if we don't feel it during meditation. A neuroscientist will point to the neuroplasticity, and the Buddhists will point to that which one inclines their mind is they're more apt to think again in the future, something like that. There's a verse on that. So whether or not you actually have warm feelings, we're not trying to force it to happen. We're not trying to make it happen. We're just creating the conditions. So the first element is having a felt sense of the person, of visualizing them. The second element is if there is a warm feeling in your body, I'm pointing to my heart center, I often feel it here. No guarantee, doesn't mean you all will feel it there. To kind of check in with that and be in touch with that feeling. And the third element is we say the phrases to support the feeling and to keep our mind here and now with this particular practice. So after starting with the benefactor, then we'll expand to include ourselves. And we'll do the same, essentially the same, bringing ourselves to mind or a felt sense of ourselves and just modifying the phrases a little bit. So with that as an introduction, maybe I'll say also that for loving kindness practice, there's a real encouragement to be comfortable as you can. You don't want to get into a struggle where you're physically uncomfortable and should I shift my posture or should I not or something like this. So feel free to make yourself comfortable and to shift your posture if you need to. So let's take an alert, upright posture. And we'll begin by taking three long, slow, deep breaths. As a way to settle in, and perhaps with the exhale, there can be some relaxation, some softening, letting go. And then we'll just bring the breath back to normal, There's no need to adjust the breath. Just trusting that the body knows how to breathe. And we often hold tension in our bodies that if we pay a little attention, it can lessen. I keep on using this word soften, but it's kind of, for me, my felt experience is maybe the tension doesn't go away completely, but it lessens, softens, diminishes. So you can check in with your eyes. Your jaw. Maybe just your whole head and face. And see if there are some areas that, or if there's some tension, it can be let go of. Without making it a big project, it's okay if the tension stays there. Check in with the neck and the shoulders. Moving the shoulders away from the ears, down the back with the shoulder blades. Check in with the back. And the chest. And the belly. Feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion on your body. And allow yourself to sink into the support. Letting gravity do its job. While still maintaining some comfortable alertness. Check in with the legs. And the feet. And the hands. We'll do a little mindfulness of breathing to begin. You can rest your attention on the sensations of breathing. So that is the movement of the chest or the movement of the belly. Or the feeling of the air going in and out of your nose. Choose one of those three and rest your attention there. If you find your mind wandering, it doesn't have to be a problem. Just very simply bring it back to the sensations of breathing. you find yourself lost in thought, you can just begin again with the sensations of breathing. And during this meditation, you can always come back just to the sensations of breathing. If you ever feel lost or confused or overwhelmed or uncomfortable with what's happening in the metta meditation, you can always switch and come back to mindfulness of the sensations of breathing. And in fact, you can do that in daily life as well. You can use this as a support, an anchor, a refuge. And then to begin loving-kindness meditation, bring to mind a benefactor, somebody that has supported you, helped you, somebody for whom it's easy to feel love, care, respect. Bring this person, or perhaps it's another type of lovable being, to mind. And we can begin by checking in and seeing if there's some sense of openness or warmth towards this person. If so, you can cultivate that and develop it with this practice. And you can repeat after me, silently in your mind, the phrases to help cultivate and develop loving kindness, metta. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You're welcome to modify the phrases to something that might feel more in alignment with yourself or somehow feel more comfortable. And of course, it doesn't have to be in English. It can be in whatever language feels like the right language for you. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And check in with the body and see if there is a warm, tender-hearted, perhaps, feeling of care, well-wishing. And if so, allow it to get as big as it would like to get. If you find other strong, uncomfortable feelings arising, you do mindfulness of breathing. You do mindfulness of those emotions. See if you can feel them in the body. Or a third thing you can do is make your awareness as big as possible. Then just allow those uncomfortable, difficult feelings to be there. But perhaps they're smaller than your awareness. Otherwise, we can continue with loving kindness meditation for the benefactor. Again, bringing the benefactor to mind, or another lovable being. Maybe you could drop into any sense of well-wishing, love, warmth. And from that place, see if the phrases can arise from that place, as well as support that place of warmth and care. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now we're going to expand any sense of well-being and well-wishing, sense of warmth and care, love, to include ourselves, wishing ourselves loving kindness and warmth, care. You can bring to mind a sense of yourself in a way that makes sense for you. It can be visualizing yourself. It can have a sense of your interior life, maybe a sense of your body. Whatever makes sense and feels comfortable for you. And just as we're sending well wishes to our benefactor, we'll do the same for ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. So now I'm going to leave some silence for a number of minutes. If you can do your own practice, continuing with loving kindness for yourself, or perhaps some other practice that feels like it's the right time to do for you. And we'll end here, perhaps with some more loving kindness phrases for ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion on your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So before we started the meditation, we talked about working with difficulties. Many of you may know that loving-kindness meditation or loving-kindness, or even like inclining or having the intention to having loving-kindness, whether or not you're actually experiencing it, is an effective antidote for ill will, hostility, aversion. Maybe asking a lot to be having hostility, aversion towards a person and then just switch over to loving kindness. So you may find your benefactor, doing loving kindness for your benefactor. See if you can let go of whatever the immediacy you may have about some hostility towards a person and just see if you can bring to mind some warmth and care for somebody in your life or somebody whom you have respect, somebody it's easy to love. And just that shift can hopefully soften and maybe open up and take some of the edge off of the hostility or ill will. Doesn't mean that this is going to be magic and all of a sudden everything's going to shift. It does mean that we're giving ourselves a chance to not get caught up in and caught in a story that gets bigger and bigger and bigger and stronger about how this person deserves our hostility or whatever story we may have. If we can interrupt that, sometimes it can get we can ruminate about it. Whatever we can do to, I keep on using this word soften, to relax that tendency. Instead, incline our mind towards warmth and care. In the same way, having compassion for ourselves, having love for ourselves when we are experiencing difficulty. We know how to do this because we know how to love other people. We know how to have compassion for other people. Sometimes we just find it more difficult to do that for ourselves. So sometimes you might say, well, what would I tell my good friend? What would I say or do to help my good friend? And that way you can treat yourself with some compassion or care and warmth when you're having some difficulties. Difficulties are a part of the human experience. We all have them. Even though we may wish that we didn't or that if we meditate enough, somehow they'll go away, but I don't know if that's worked for anybody. So in this way, this loving-kindness meditation can support our lives, how we are in the daily life, and as well as to help cultivate some calmness in our minds, some quietness in our minds. or some wisdom can arise. So with that, I'll open it up for some questions about loving-kindness practice in general, about the teachings that we did specifically this evening, or even some other questions about, you know, we did benefactor over to self. How was that? How was it being in the silence? Was that supportive? Was it great finally to have some silence, or did you feel yourself drifting off with the silence? How is it for visualization versus the phrases? I just offer these as some things that you may have questions about or even comments that you'd like to share.
For a long time in my meditation, I was very agitated.
Oh, you know what? Would it be helpful if I turned the mic on?
This is my job. I was very agitated in my meditation for a long time, and I just didn't know what to do about it, and I guess it just kind of took care of itself, because now I feel like I'm almost just falling asleep a lot. So I sort of helped myself by sitting up a little bit more straight, but if you have any thoughts, I feel like one might be the opposite of the other. Like, I feel like I'm not sure it's better that now I'm falling asleep, but at least my eyes don't open 7 times in the course of the meditation.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. This isn't uncommon to go from one to the other, right? And maybe you'll get back to restlessness again too, right? So for some things specifically, I think this is great, Kristen, what you said about having a little more energy in your posture can really support just having a little more energy in your mind, too. And then when I'm doing the phrases, right, I'm trying to do it in a calm way, so I'm like slowing down. But maybe you should be doing them twice as fast as I am when you hear them or something, just also to bring some energy in your mind. Not with a frantic way, but, you know, just a little bit more energetically. You said rather than open your eyes when you were agitated, but sometimes if we feel like we're falling asleep, sometimes open our eyes a little bit, not so much that we're looking around, but just let light in. Somehow when there's light in, that it just brings a little bit more energy also to just our whole system, our mind and our bodies. And if it feels like it's really, you're really like struggling with it, or it feels like it's turned into a problem and loving kindness meditation feels too, I don't know, burdensome or something that you're trying to shove on top of the experience that you're having, you can switch to mindfulness. And one way, it can be really fascinating to investigate, what does tiredness, what does almost falling asleep feel like? Where do you feel the heaviness? What's your posture happening? Is it going forward or slumping? And what's it like behind your eyes or something? So very often investigation or like mindfulness, like having a sense of curiousness brings up the energy. Like, oh, wow, what is this? So was that helpful?
Yeah. Can I ask also, because a couple of times in my meditation just more recently, and especially in these more relaxing ones, I actually kind of lose the location. So when I open my eyes, I remember that I'm here. But while I was doing it, I actually think that I didn't. But I almost feel like, is that like almost like being in a twilight? Like I'm not quite asleep, but I'm like right on the cusp of it. So I sort of lose the awareness of where I'm at, or is that just a meditation thing that happens to people? Like, I don't know the difference really.
So there could be a number of things that are responsible for that, and so I don't know which one it is for you. But that's partly why I always close meditations, feel the pressure of the cushion on your body and your feet on the ground, because that happens. So just to kind of like bring us all back here, because sometimes it's easy to get out there or somehow, and there's a number of reasons why that could happen. And then the more we meditate and more we just have this experience of bringing our mind back, the easier it gets. But it does take practice. So. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, there's a microphone. Okay, great.
I didn't feel any.
Can you hear me?
I'm not sure.
So when you asked to think about a person or someone or something whom you can feel love for, so I tried to imagine so many people, but everyone disappeared. And suddenly one person appears, which is no longer in my life, but I feel very anger. In normal life, I don't feel anger for that person. But I don't know. Suddenly so many things jump into, like related to that person came into my mind. And I was feeling so much dislike. I don't know whether it's aversion or I don't know what is that. But I feel like so much anger, like why? But in real life, I don't feel that way. But I don't know why it made me feel like that, and then when we switched to like think about yourself, I was not able to see me. Like, of course I want to be happy, whatever you were saying, everything I want to feel, but I was not able to imagine me like I was able to imagine other people, you know.
Yeah, so both of these things that having like the opposite of loving kindness, anger, it turns out to be pretty common. That when we finally settle down, two things can happen. One, we can start noticing all the little things that like I want to have loving kindness, but oh yeah, there was a time that I didn't, or I don't know, somehow like the opposite arises. That's okay. That's part of the practice, actually, of how this practice works. I feel funny saying this word, but it's my own experience, and it's certainly out there. It's a type of purification. We are creating the conditions for loving kindness, and sometimes those same conditions create the conditions for things that are not loving kindness to arise. That's okay. See if we can just hold it. See if we can just be there with it and feel anger, feel whatever it might be. If it gets overwhelming, then you can switch to mindfulness or open your eyes or feel your feet on the ground. But also see if you can just hold it like, okay, this is anger, this is hatred, this is ill will, this is hostility right now, whatever it might be. And just acknowledge that's what's happening. And that's a certain purification that's happening. It arises, and if we don't get all tangled up in it and think that we're a bad person or it means this or get really filled with stories about it, it'll arise, we'll feel it, it probably will be uncomfortable, and then it'll pass away. So it may have to happen many times before we can not get tangled up with it, but this is a great way to kind of release some of these things that we don't notice in our real life, as you're saying. We just don't notice, but they're like we're creating the conditions for things to bubble up. We're making the space, and lots of things bubble up when we make space. We don't get to control exactly what bubbles up and when. And then the second thing you said about having difficulty like visualizing yourself, I think that's not uncommon. That like visualizing ourselves, mostly we're like seeing out there as opposed to like seeing here. So you can do whatever way makes sense for you. Like if visualizing just feels like it's too much of a stretch or a strain, then don't do it. Maybe just the words, may I feel happy, just like whatever that means to you. Like is it this? I'm pointing right to my body. Is it this experience at this moment? Or I wouldn't make it complicated. Just in whatever way is accessible and simple for you to have the sense of, may I be safe, happy, healthy, and live with ease. Was that helpful?
Oh, yes. And when you said switch to mindfulness, meaning the example you gave me, like, oh, this is anger, let it go. Be here, let it stay, I won't get tangled, kind of a thing. You mean that, right?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Mindfulness to like feel the experience.
Yeah, because it feels like, I mean, I felt like kind of a tornado, like so much going on, like suddenly everything pops up. I never even thought about those things. I don't know.
Yeah. And we don't want to get into a struggle here. So if it feels like loving-kindness meditation is like you're trying to force it or cram it down or something like this, don't do that. We want to have loving-kindness. So just try to have some ease there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so it's 7 o'clock. I want to respect everybody's time. I'll stay here if you have some questions. And I'll say that at 7:30, for those of you who are able, is Gil Fronstall is teaching an introduction to meditation here. He's a master. He's fantastic. So if you're able, you're welcome to stay. And then I'll also say, as I mentioned before to some of you, that I'm taking off for a long retreat, 6 weeks. And I will be bringing you in my heart. This has been nourishing and beautiful for me to be able to share this practice with all of you. So I'll be doing loving kindness while in this meditation. I'll be bringing to mind this meditation hall filled with beautiful people. So thank you.